I'm Dr. Jun Wen Cheong with the Australia Centre for Space Engineering Research. We are building the UNIS New South Wales first CubeSat, UNSW Eco. We call it Educational CubeSat Zero. Before I start to talk anything about CubeSat, we should really acknowledge that it's really a team effort. It's a part student, part staff development that's led by four academic staff and a group of very talented students, including postgrad and undergrad students that are very involved in the project. Most of them has went beyond their call of duty to make this whole thing happen. The CubeSat is developed back in 2012 when the QB50 started, and the launch was mainly funded by VKI, although UNSW funded part of that launch, and also we are self-funded by UNSW to build the rest of the CubeSat ourselves, except for the science instruments as payload. So really, it's a locally funded project. A majority of the effort are by the students to integrate and develop the software and the hardware to make everything else happen. So I'll go through bits of it. So first, we'll talk about the experiments and the payloads, and we'll talk about a bit of ADCS, attitude determination control systems. And so this is our mission badge, and the reason I showed this is it showcases all our primary and secondary payloads and experiments. So in the middle there, we're trying to showcase where we have the QB50 ion and neutral mass spectrometer as our primary payload, and surrounding it would be three of our UNSW built payloads. One called Rush, the other called Cell4, and the one on the bottom, we call it Namaru, which has been mentioned a number of times right now. It's our UNSW proudly built GPS receiver that is capable in many, many different ways. So the first primary payload is the ion and neutral mass spectrometer, which is housed at the top of the CubeSat. It looks like a tuna can, and it's provided by Mulart Space Science Laboratory at UCL, London, and we take that as one of the major main science instruments that we carry. So really, what we really want to talk about today, though, is the three UNSW built CubeSat payloads. So the custom GPS that we carry, which is the Namaru, contains three sub-experiments. It's an experiment itself. We can actually switch between three modes. So one of the first modes really is for onboard navigation, whereby we can determine our position accurate to 2 meters, and we use that as a technology demonstration for our GPS receiver. The second one, which is a little bit more interesting, is to observe the occultation of radio signals as the signal travels from the GPS satellites to our receiver at low Earth orbit. From there, we can observe the bending of the GPS signal, and we can derive important information out of that. So really, this is also a technology demonstration for our GPS receiver. And the third is the reflectometry mission, where we can actually turn on the antennas that faces the bottom, and we can then collect the signal that's reflected off the surface of the Earth to then create a graph of what we call the delay Doppler map. And from the shape of the delay Doppler map, we can actually derive information about sea state, which is going to be highly correlated then to the wind speed and the direction for wind. We can also use the same technology to see where the boundaries between land and ice or land and surface is. And there's also a lot more other perspectives that you can derive from using these reflected signals that have not been explored yet. So really, this payload is not just trying to achieve these, but it's trying to say that with one single GPS payload, you can... It's capable of not just doing one mission, but a multitude of these GPS-related missions, and they're all packed into one single payload and one single CubeSat, which is quite amazing. The secondary payload, two, is called the Rush, which is spelled as Rapid Recovery from Single Electron Upsets in Reconfigurable Hardware. So the idea is to detect and mitigate any faults due to strong radiation in space. And this strong radiation in space can create single electron upsets, which flips bits inside the hardware, which then causes a software malfunction. And this payload is intended to not just detect, but mitigate that situation and recover from it. So the idea is primarily using triple module redundancy systems on a hardware level. And when there is a problem, you detect that and you recover from it by reprogramming the sections of the hardware that you found to be faulty. You have a module that's under test. You run three copies of it, and you have a small circuitry, which is what you call a voter circuitry, that decides whether if any of the modules are faulty. And the secondary payload 3, which is called cell 4-bit, is pretty much the same principle, trying to detect faults in software that's due to single electron upsets. But we do that in software, rather. So again, if you have a fault, you can detect it if you run it all across several cores processors. In this case, they are running a quad-core processor, so they can actually duplicate the processing into different cores, and they run the same code of different sections of the memory. So they duplicate the code of different sections at different sections of the memory. And if there is a flip in the memory, when processor runs that section, it will produce a different result from the other sections. And hence, the error can be detected, and you perform a reset to recover from that. So that's it for all the payloads. One of the contributions of UNSW into the CubeSat is also building our in-house attitude determination and control systems. We have two major modes to do the control of the attitude of the CubeSat. One is detumbling mode, the other is pointing mode. And the prerequisite to the pointing mode from working is really to upload two line elements, which pertains to the position of the spacecraft and time synchronization. For pointing, we require a bunch of sensors to work. So these are sensors inputs coming into a state estimator, which will then estimate the states, or rather the attitude of the CubeSat. And the controllers work on the right to produce the right actuation signal for the magnetorquers to use. We have the magnetorquers, three-axis magnetorquers, as our control, as our actuation, and we've got input signals from two cameras: one a sun sensor, one an earth sensor, and we've got gyros, magnetometers as our inputs. I'll go through that in a minute. But so we'll talk about the attitude sensors. We've got a CubeSense, which has two cameras. One of them is a Earth sensor that we can actually use to capture a photo that we can then down to Earth to prove that we are able to do attitude control. So there's a reason how we ended up with this arrangement is that we've got RF boards and the radio-related boards on this end here, and we've got the onboard computer boards on the right-hand end here, and that is because the magnetometers are on that. So we found that there's a lot of ferrous materials on these radio RF boards that can interfere with the magnetometer measurements. That's why we ended up with these arrangements. There's a bit of interesting hysteresis action going on in there. We've got the design of the communication systems, which also pertains to the entire bus. The communications doesn't just go between the onboard computer and the ground station. To design and test everything in hardware and software is a challenge, as we've got a number of students coming in and out. So we've developed an environment setup that allows people to work remotely, and also we can easily test things that requires long duration monitoring, for example, attitude determination control systems, where it will take a very long time to stabilize. And after all the development has happened, we then move our CubeSat to UNSW Canberra AITC for testing. So this happened about 3 months ago now. We then have the vibration tests it can be in, and we have also passed the vibration test to the satisfaction of Von Karman Institute. So move on to the status of our CubeSat right now, and that would be we are now in October. Near October. So our CubeSat is expected to be deployed from, to be launched to the International Space Station on end of December, 30th of December. but we are, and then we will be deployed from the International Space Station, expected to happen on the 30th of January or the 30th of March next year. It all depends on which batch we are going to be released on. So they will first launch 40 CubeSats to the International Space Station, and depending on which batch you're located to, you'll be released on the first 20 will be released on the 30th of January next year, or the second 20 will be released on the 30th of March next year. Because it's QB50, so there's actually a total of 50 CubeSats rather than 40. So the other 8 CubeSats will be launched to the polar orbit. Now I'll be asking the question, what happened to the other 2 CubeSats? The other 2 CubeSats will be counting the precursor CubeSats that VK has launched previously to prove the 5PEX as a payload that's functioning. So we've got various mission phases that UNSW ECO experience. For the first 30 minutes after the deployment from the International Space Station, the requirement is for us to not be able to hear anything and not for it not to do anything until the 30 minutes has elapsed. And then it will move on to phase one, where it will do basic detumbling, and that's when we will be able to have our first contact with it. And from there on, it will try to do deployments. It will then move on to phase two, which pertains to some attitude determination and control systems, initialization, and also a preliminary checkout of the basic systems. And then the rest of the phases will allow us to progressively move towards using the payloads. As for the INMS operation plan, it will be operating only for 60 days per segment, so that's 2 segments in total. And the reason for that is so that they can operate the constellation in a variety of altitudes. So I'll just keep it simple at that. And the conclusion really, the takeaway really is to get the to show that UNSW is capable and has done tremendous work on getting CubeSat working. We've created a development environment that allows very rapid prototyping and testing of CubeSats. As a result, we were able to turn around a CubeSat within a span of 6 months, as demonstrated by Eva's CubeSat later on. We are also capable of manufacturing space qualified payloads and boards that are used in this CubeSat. So thank you for attention.